Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. We'll start off this morning to find out if we have any first-time visitors before I move on to the announcement.
I have at least one teenager on the back row. Sometimes they don't like to be acknowledged, but there's a teenager here. Look for them before we leave. Welcome.
That's the
only ones I know that are first-time visitors.
Okay, are there any others? Yes. Here. Hello. Okay, in the announcements this morning, we want the ladies to remember that there is a bridal shower this afternoon at 2 o'clock for Hannah Miles. And we also, on your pink slip in your bulletin, these are some upcoming events for the CPWM, and we're going to need some shoe boxes. We have decided to do Operation Christmas Child again through Samaritan's Purse, and we're in need of some shoe boxes, especially those kind that have the lids on top, not the fold-over kind. They're actually, the fold-over kind are kind of hard to wrap, so we'd appreciate any donations of boxes, plus any donations that you would like to make. Now is the time. I know it's early. Christmas is nowhere near. But to buy things for those shoe boxes that are like school supplies, notebooks, and things right now, now is a good time to buy them. And we will, you can bring them to the church and we'll be glad to put them away until it's time for those, because everybody's having sales on school supplies. So that would be greatly appreciated. I think there's some events for the youth that are listed, and other things like that that are in the bulletin. Is there are there any other general announcements before I move on to the prayer list? Any other general announcements? If not, we'll move on to the prayer list, prayer or praise concerns. Mike?
And
Are there any others? Debbie? Are there any other prayer or praise concerns?
Yes.
Are there any others?
His fast sent a word of praise for her safety.
If there are no others, if we'll bow for a moment of silence to prepare our minds for worship.
A musical moment.
Will please stand for the call to worship. And it is responsive and is in your bulletin. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting.
Yours, O Lord, is your righteousness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor.
For everything in heaven and earth is yours.
Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all.
Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things.
In your hands are strength and power.
Bow with me for prayer. Lord God, we come into your presence thanking you, Lord, for the invitation. And Lord, we thank you for the example of David and how he knew how to offer praise and honor and glory to you. And Lord, we thank you that we have his words, that we can also follow his example and offer our words, our thoughts, our voices to you in praise. Lord, we know that you are the exalted head over all, and we acknowledge you as head over us this day, and thank you that we can be your people serving under a mighty God, everlasting Father. Lord, speak to us, but allow us to speak your honor and glory before you this day. And Father, prepare us, having been in your presence, for the world that we will enter into when we depart from this place. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus, now coming to pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And please remain standing. The song is on the screen.
Praise Father God, giver of life, power and might, goodness and light, ruler of all. Praise to the Son. Oh,
join me now for the Apostles' Creed, which is in unison. It's found on the screen or on page 716 in the hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended in Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confession this morning is taken from Isaiah. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our prayer of confession, if you would like to follow along, is in unison. Have mercy on us, O God of love and grace. Wash away the thoughts that bind us to sin and erase those actions that lead us away from you. Teach us your wisdom and put a new spirit of truth and love and righteousness within us. Fill us with the joy you offer, the grace and Jesus Christ. Grant us clean hearts and willing minds that we may walk in your ways and rejoice in your truth. Strengthen us with the loving plans, righteous deeds, and we may offer your justice and mercy to the world in need. Amen. Our words of assurance are from Psalm. The Lord is gracious to us and gentle. The Lord heals our souls with love. The Lord is merciful, providing spiritual food for the hungry. Be healed in your hearts and be fed in your souls by the forgiveness found in Jesus Christ our Lord. You can turn to page 66, and Ted's going to lead us. Not to worry, it's not me.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Purchase of blood to every believer.
our offertory sentence this morning is from John 3:17. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses the help? If the ushers will please come forward. Children's time with Miss Andrea, and we have children's church with Miss Jennifer.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, this week a lot of you all got started back to school and different things that you do during the school year. And my daughter started teaching for the first time, and she's teaching English as a second language. So her students that she has from second to fifth grade, some of them don't speak English at all. And she's been doing a lot of testing with them this week to find out who knows what and who doesn't know anything at all about English. And her first little girl, she was bringing her down the hall, and she was smiling real big and talking to her, and the little girl was smiling to her. And everything was going great till they got to her classroom, and when they went in, the little girl just started crying. And Lori, you know, calmed her down and went and got a translator, and she realized this little girl was from El Salvador, and she didn't have a clue anything Lori was saying to her, where they were going, nothing. And so that, you know, she got the translator in there, and they started talking to her, and Lori would, you know, ask the translator, tell her this, and then she would tell her, you know, to tell Lori, and they went back and forth like that until the little girl got really calmed down, and then they were able to do some testing and find out, you know, what she knew, which was no English at all. So that made me start thinking about how each and every day you have an opportunity wherever you are, if it's just at your school, at the playground, at your playgroup, wherever you are, we are presented with opportunities to get to know people that we don't know who also may not know our Lord and Savior at all. It's amazing if you think about it. It made me think about it this week. All of my friends pretty much, and my relatives pretty much that I can think of know my Lord and Savior. So it's even more important that we reach out to people that we don't know, because how else are we going to find out whether they know or not? In Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, it tells us to continue to do good and to do it to all, because, and not to lose heart, because by doing good, we reach opportunities to reach people and get to know them. And sometimes we have to reach them where they are, just like Lori had to reach that little girl in her native language, because otherwise she wasn't going to know anything at all that Lori was talking about. So we have to meet them where they are, not necessarily them come to us. So let's remember that this year as we're out there in our playgroups, in our schools, out, you know, wherever, you know, different groups. When you see someone you don't know, be that young person that goes over and talks to that new child that's new and doesn't know anybody. And if you happen to be that child, you reach out to somebody. You may not always get accepted. That's okay, because our Lord and Savior accepts us all the time. But we want to make sure that we reach out to those that need us most, and not just the ones we're familiar with. Let's go up and sing with Miss Nellie.
Speaking of not new,
there's
something not there that we sang before. It's the last one to sing along is 582 in the hymnal. And it is reach your hand as far as it goes. 582. So reach your hand. Does Andrew say reach out? So reach your hand as far as it goes, and I'll reach mine. Do you suppose that we can make the world so small that there will be no walls at all? Can you do that? Because that's the essence. Reach your hand as far as it goes.
scripture lesson this morning will be read by Debbie Hatfield.
Our scripture lesson comes from Psalm 103, 2 through 8. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger, abounding in love. And from Psalm 111, praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Our friend Sam is on a mission. I guess we sent him out as a missionary. He's gone to the Knoxville area this morning. Actually, he left yesterday. And he will be... He spoke at 9 o'clock at one church. He's supposed to be back at for a 9 o'clock service. I'm not sure what time he spoke. Had to drive across Knoxville, and they said about 30 minutes, but... If he's not familiar with that area, we don't know how long it took him. Maybe he got across town. That was the Beaver Creek Church first, and then the Union Church at 11 o'clock hour. And then tonight he'll be about 40 miles this side of Knoxville in the Kingston, Tennessee area. I believe it's Young's Chapel Church. And... every once in a while, he'll look at me and he'll say, you got me into this. And I said, yes, but he's enjoying it. He really is. And he even said this week, this speaking bit, he says, I'm enjoying that and preparing messages. And he's going to encourage the church. And that's one of the responsibilities or opportunities of the moderator of the General Assembly. And he's fulfilling that well. He'll probably be gone most of the rest of this month and all of next month, and by October he'll probably have commitments there. In being not having a pulpit to fill each Sunday, he'll probably be gone more often than he would if he was a pastor, and I'm glad that he has this opportunity. Let's pray for Sam as he goes and represents our church, and he's representing it well. He's not only representing the Cumberland Presbyterian denomination, he is representing us. And we know that he'll make us proud, and he'll bring glory to God in his efforts. And that is his hope and purpose, his dream, his plan, his intention. So continue to lift him up in your prayers. And thank you for Ted. Thank you for Savannah and others who are fitting in. We never know who's going to be here on Sunday morning. And we thought, Julia, we thought you were gone, but we're glad to see you this morning. And Mr. Sharpton, glad Mama's doing well and are doing better. And continue to pray for Jane and Wade. I spent maybe too long from their side, but it wasn't for me, Thursday night with them, and bless their hearts, they're still hurting, and they will hurt a long time, and Mr. Ben Sharpton are, and Julie and David and the family, but we lift them up continually. Driving down the road, coming north on 31A, 41A, there's a sign at the church down the street, Arrington Church of Christ, says that God has a big eraser. God has a big eraser. And, boy, I'm so glad. As I speak about God having a big eraser, I believe the intent, or at least what I receive from that message, is that God forgives us. Praise God. And I got to thinking, even at the 8 o'clock hour, as I was sitting here before I preached, what if God did not forgive us? And so this sermon, part of it, that part at least, is really fresh. I mean, as fresh as 8 o'clock this morning. And what if God didn't forgive us? Now think of that worst thing that you've ever done. I mean, don't compare yourself with anybody else, but the worst thing that you've ever done. That thing that you don't want anybody to know about but you. And what if you had to stand before God and be judged for it? Wow, I'm so glad for forgiveness. I'm so glad for God having a big eraser. I don't believe that is disrespectful to say that when we're talking about God. I hope it's not. Because I think we can relate to it. And Jesus used illustrations that people could relate to. And children have just gone back to school. And even in high school, they still have erasers on the pencils, don't they? One end you mark with. Is that right? One end of the pencil you mark with. Am I getting any help back there from the teenagers? The school's children? One end we mark with. Is that right? What we do with the other end? We erase. And some of us wear the eraser out. Is that right? Before we wear the pencil out. And sometimes our lives, we need a lot of erasing going on, do we not?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are a forgiving God. One of the attributes or characteristics of God. He's forgiving. I'm so glad. A forgiving God. But that's just one. There's so much more that we know about God, and so much more that we can know about God. And this could go on for months and months. But now I'm going to start, hopefully next week, talking about God reaching out to us, how He reaches out to us in His forgiveness. So anyhow, some thoughts about God. One thought concerning God, though, the God that we trust, the God that we serve, the God that we gathered in this place this morning to worship. And those first two songs, that one you were invited to sing and then the next one, we pulled them out of Wednesday night. We had about 10 people here Wednesday night, I guess, and I was touched. It's another one of those experiences where I felt that I almost was invited to crawl up in God's arms and just be stroked. And we need them sometime, do we not? Just crawl up in His arms and let Him stroke us like we were little infants. And so I said to the musicians, could we do that Sunday morning? And even this morning, I felt that we were worshiping, and then to God be the glory. Not a better song in the book than that for me. And we could just come, this God that we worship, He is so loving and so kind. But let's look a little further about God. Go back a moment and see what we have said about God. This is the third week in a row that we have looked at some of His characteristics or attributes. What is God like? And we try to talk about that, and hopefully we've come to a better understanding, or at least had our understanding affirmed. And I'm not saying that I even have come near of saying all about God. Don't know how long that would take. But we have said that God is alive. And then we said that God is the one who created us, Creator God. And then we have said that God is one. One God, one true and living God. Three revelations or manifestations of that God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But they're one. God is infinite. God is personal. And today the list grows. And it's so good to go back and look at the Psalms, and we can find this psalmist expressing his understanding and knowledge of God. And David was said to be, the great psalmist, a man after God's own heart. And God revealed Himself to David as the king of His people. Looking at the Psalms, Psalm 103 and Psalm 111. There is forgiveness with God. God's a forgiving God. God is a healing God. God is a redeeming God. God is a great God. God is just, and God is steadfast, and God is loving, and God is kind, and God is compassionate. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Last week I said to you that I would talk some of these theological words, and I think I mentioned the three that we want to start with this morning. God is omnipotent, God is omniscient, and God is omnipresent. What am I talking about when I say omni? Another word for all. God is all potent. What do you mean potent? God is powerful. God is all powerful. No limitations to God's power. You know, I want to do something. Much that I want to do, I can only want. Can't get it done. Not able to. I can do stuff that I don't do, but some stuff, you know, we always want to do that which we're not big enough. Are not strong enough. And that has hung with me a long time. I still want to ride a motorcycle around the world, but I can't. My wife won't let me. You know. Maybe not around the world, but close anyway. I still want to drive 100 miles an hour down the interstate, but I can't. My car won't run that fast. You know, I want to. There are limitations. But God has no limitations. All powerful. Not limited in any way. Think of that. Can you think of that? Can we comprehend that? I'm not sure I can with my finite mind. No limitations on Him. When we are so limited, we're limited in our reach. That reach out the hand. And I was sitting here and I reached out toward Deborah. She didn't see me, so I was limited in reaching her hand. But if I still couldn't, my arm wouldn't be long enough. But there's no limitations to God's reach. His authority is unlimited. His authority is unlimited. You know, the President of the United States is limited in his authority, but God is not. At this church, I assume a lot of authority sometimes. Try to, at least. At home, I try to assume a lot of authority. I guess all of us men do, right? But we are so limited because I have a session to deal with and a membership And at home, I have a wife to deal with. And she knows that I am not unlimited, that I am so limited. No, it will not happen that way. And I always get the last word, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All powerful. Somewhere along the way, and I'm not sure where it was, but I heard the phrase often, God Almighty. But it wasn't attributing honor and glory to God. It was used more or less as a curse phrase. My God Almighty, what's happening? You know, an explanation. Please don't use the phrase God is Almighty as a curse word or a slang expression, because people take it that way. But we can say, I serve a mighty God. God is almighty. There's no limitations. Almighty God. Mighty God is He. Jeremiah and the prophet, on the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 32, God speaks to Jeremiah and tells him, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And the question is asked, is there anything too hard for me? And the obvious answer, no, there's not. God, there's nothing too difficult for you. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, wondering about how could a rich man get into the kingdom of heaven. And he says, with men, it's impossible if we're going to get in on our own strength. But with God, all things are possible. Even to get rich or poor. Or in between. Into heaven. Confession of faith, and it was stressed in the Westminster Confession of Faith back in the 1600s, and then in the 1883 version, the wording has been changed, but listen to these words from the 1883 versions of the Cumberland Presbyterian Confession of Faith. It says, God hath, or so let's use has, God has all life, glory, goodness, and blessedness in Himself, not standing in need. This is God. God is not standing in need of any creatures which He has made. He's made us because He wanted a people to love and worship Him, and for Him to love and worship, love and minister to. But He says, not standing in need of any creatures which He has made, nor deriving any essential glory from them. We try to bring glory to God with our singing and with our good works, and we are a light to other people, and we try to bring glory, but actually He doesn't really need us to, but He chooses that we can do this, and has most sovereign dominion over them, and that's us, His creation. God has sovereign dominion over us to do whatever He pleases. Growing up, we had a joke somewhere along the way, maybe in college, where does the 800-pound gorilla sit? Did y'all hear that one when you were growing up or in school? Where does the 800-pound gorilla sit? Yeah, anywhere he wants to. Yeah. And that's kind of in a minute way descriptive of God. God does what He wants to. And it's His right. He has made us, and we are His. And He has that choice. He showed it to one prophet at the potter's wheel. It was His right to tear the piece of pottery down and start over with it. Okay, God is omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, knows everything. That's the one that's scary. God knows all about us. He knows all of our little secrets and our big secrets too. I don't want them to know about it. Well, they all talk about me. Well, God knows about it. Now, don't you tell Grandma when she comes all that's been going on in this household. And I had this ability to just tell it all. Couldn't keep a secret. This fallacy, I guess. And they'd say, and her, we called her Big Mama. Big Mama's coming. And don't you tell her and then about all this. And I couldn't hardly contain it. But God already knew it. Why would we keep it from Grandma if God knew about it? Okay. He's all-knowing. God is of great power. His understanding is infinite. And another word for infinite is limitless. There is no limits to God's understanding. God knows all things. John, 1 John 3:20 says, and Acts 15, known unto God are all of His works from the beginning of the world. You know, there's a lot of stuff people ask me about something and I say, you know, I forgot that. Or there's some fuzzy parts in my memory way back there. And it's, I guess that's protection. Or maybe it's forgiveness for them. It is forgiveness for those sins that I've done because I've claimed the blood of Christ. But God knows all of His works from the beginning of the world even. He hasn't forgotten anything. And then God is omnipresent. He is present everywhere in all places. Present at all times. I like to go read Psalm 139. If you go to the heights, He is there. If you go to the depths, He is there. God's everywhere. Where can I get away from God? Can't. He's everywhere. All parts of the universe. So those are those three big words. Now, some words that are more common. God is light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Daniel, the prophet, says, He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. God knows what's in the darkness. We can't see it. It's a mystery to us. And the light dwelleth with Him, with God. There is no darkness of sin. There is no darkness of error. There is no darkness of ignorance. There is no darkness of imperfection because He is perfect. Next thing, God is holy. The Apostle Peter was with Jesus almost every step of the way after Jesus called him from the fishing boat. He got the privilege of going to the Mount of Transfiguration. He got the privilege of going further into the Garden of Gethsemane than Peter, James, and John went a little further than the rest of the disciples went. He speaks of God being holy. But as He which hath called you is holy, God, Peter knew God's holiness. I think part of it was after the fact, after Jesus had ascended, but Peter experienced the holiness of God. And then He calls on us. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Or speak holy things. What are we talking about holy? That which is not common. That which is set apart. That which is over and above the normal common things of life. Special. You know, this place to me is still holy. And I'm in here every day. But it's when I walk in the sanctuary, there is a holiness. Actually, when I drive on these grounds, there is something special because they've been dedicated to use for God's work and God's kingdom. And it's holy. And we want to act just a little bit, no, just a whole lot better when we're in His presence. But if we're out there, He still knows about it. It is written, be ye holy. 1 Peter 1:16. Be ye holy. He said, it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Habakkuk. How many of you read from Habakkuk this morning? Probably didn't read from Habakkuk. That's not one we go to. We go to one of the Gospels or one of the letters, somewhere in the New Testament. Maybe the Psalms, maybe the Proverbs. But Habakkuk, speaking of God, art thou from everlasting to everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One. Thou art of purer eyes, verse Habakkuk 1:13, speaking to God, you, O God, are of purer eyes than to behold evil. You're of purer eyes than to behold evil, and you canst not or cannot look on iniquity. Somehow I got to the King James Version of the Bible and from Bible Gateway and kept printing those verses. So they got the can't and the thou's in there. God is holy. God is divine. Not common. Special. Holy. And then God is just. What are you talking about being just? Well, someone described it as an unbiased granting to every person his due. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There will be a judgment. Like it or not, we don't like that part of the Bible. Don't matter what we like. It's there. You know, I wish it wasn't so, but it's going to be. Wouldn't it be better? We think, oh, not really, but we could think, oh, it'd be better if God just let us do like we please and have fun all the time and then in the end just take us into that glorious heaven where it was peaches and cream and what was that? Homemade vanilla ice cream from Bluebell all the time. Don't go by that. Don't go by that. It's great stuff, though. But don't go by it because I said to go by it. And then accuse me of advertising or something. I'm just using a good example, hopefully. God is just. But see, the thing about the justice of God, when we stand before Him, He is judge, and our charges are read or spoken, and Jesus says, yeah, you're just, God, but I pay for that. I pay for that sin. I pay for that. So He's forgiven. She's forgiven. He says it about me. He says it about you if you're trusting Him as your Lord and Savior. Sin must be paid for. Death is a penalty for sin. But Jesus went to His death on the cross to pay for our sin. That's mercy, too. That's better than justice. Wow, thank you for your forgiveness, God. You're a forgiving God. God is love. And let's spend a moment talking about God's love. Oh, love is God's very nature. God is love. And someone expressed it, everything God does is loving. Even God's punishment of His people is an expression of His love. Oh, we can remember when we were children, and children, if you're experiencing that now, parents beating the tar out of you. That's the way we felt it. Making strikes on your body, inflicting pain upon you. And then they say, we do it because we love you. And they do. Let one go driving in this morning. I think it was Dr. Dobson's program on right before 7 o'clock and they're talking about, let this two-year-old find his own way without some direction. And at 5-year-old, you got a mess on your hands. And at 15, you got a real mess. And at 22, he's in jail. And you don't want to send a 22-year-old to an adult jail. So it's our responsibility to show love. Sometime in a hurtful manner, God loves us like that. God loves us. Everything He does, even our punishment from Him, is loving. His love is universal. John 3:16 says that. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. His love is unconditional, initiating love. Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans 5:6-8. Acts 6:8 says, God showed His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, or while we were rebelling against God, or while we were off making a mess of everything, being rebels before Him, He came to call us to Him while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, before we thought about searching for God, He came in the person of Jesus, and Jesus died for us. Died for us. His love is initiating love. He did not wait for us to love Him. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus is one example. Jesus came by. Zacchaeus is just up in a tree to where he could see. But Jesus reached out to him and said, Zacchaeus, I want to go home with you today. I want to save your family. I want to change your life. And read 19th chapter of Luke and see how Zacchaeus' life was changed. God's love is faithful. Or God's love is everlasting. The Lord hath appeared, Jeremiah says, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn thee. His love is a reconciling love. I was with a group of preachers the other day. I usually go meet with preachers on Monday, and we cry about what didn't happen or what happened bad, and we rejoice over what did happen in each other's ministries or lives. I'm getting Patrick indoctrinated with this group of people, and one of my neighbors calls it our sales meeting. Well, it's a therapy meeting. But anyhow, 2 weeks ago, I think it was said, somebody says, and they listed a bunch of things that we are not called to do, but all of us get involved in. And I'm not even sure what they were. It's something like, we're not called really to build buildings, but we all get involved in it. And we're not called to do this and that and something else. But one thing that we are called to do is be involved in reconciliation. Bringing about restored relationships where they have been broken. And friends, that is hard. But we're called to do it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul, reconciliation was one of his big goals. This are these things, and this is previous to this, he says, you're a new creature in Christ. And then he says, this is from God, who reconciled us unto Himself through Christ. But that's not the end. But He gave us, we who have been reconciled to Himself through Christ, He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, He wasn't writing just to preachers. He was writing to a church at Corinth, a troubled church, a troublesome church. A church that had a lot wrong with it. It wasn't the perfect church. And they had been given the ministry of reconciliation. Friends, we too have been given the ministry of reconciliation, because after the pattern of God reconciling us or bringing us back into fellowship with Him through His Son Jesus Christ, He has sent us as agents or ministers of reconciliation. That God was in Christ reconciling the world, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And then He goes on to say in verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making His appeal through us. We reach out to people who are separated from God to bring them to be reconciled to Him. But we're also in the ministry of reconciling people who are separated one from another together. That they might reconcile their differences. And we may not be successful in doing it, but we're called on to make our effort. To make the effort. God's love is a reconciling love. God's love is a costly love. You know what it cost Him? It cost Him His Son to die on the cross, being spit on. And that's just the most terrible thing I think a person could do. I'd rather them hit me than spit on me. Be whipped, beaten, slandered, falsely cursed, railed against, but he gave himself for us. God loved us so much that he let it happen to his own dear son. And Jesus loved us so much that he is willing to get on that cross and die in our place. And God's love is helping love, renewing love. John 3:16 and 17. God sent his son because he loved us. For God so loved us that he sent his only begotten son, that if we would believe in him, we'd have everlasting life. In the next verse, he came not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. I don't know what this says to you, but I think maybe, just maybe, today is the day that you have come to believe in Jesus, who paid for your sin. You trust him with your sin and allow him to reconcile you to God the Father. 72 is the song. Wants to look at it and sing 1, 2, and 4. Is that right? 1, 2, and 4 of 72. And it's kind of a praise song. It's kind of a commitment song. It can also be a song where we say, "Here I am, Lord. I know enough about you to want to be reconciled, be in fellowship with you. And I'm coming through Jesus Christ." Let's stand together.
God is good all the time.